We are continuing our series here of 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, and we're calling it Be Alert, because this is a subject that Peter has been bringing out over and over and over again. Hopefully you've been picking up his message, and his message is false teachers are bad, to put it simply. Of course, he uses a couple of chapters to describe that, but false teachers are bad, and it seems like the more we read and the more that Peter keeps on repeating the subject, he's gunning for them. He's trying to get after these guys. He's got something against these false teachers. But it's also interesting to know that to think that this is the subject he chose with his final words, because we believe that 2 Peter is the last portion of Scripture that Peter wrote before he died. He was martyred. He was put to death for his belief. And he saw it coming. He kind of knew that the end was near. And with the end coming near, he's thinking, okay, what's my message going to be? What's the last thing I'm going to put out there? And it's the subject of beware of false teachers. Beware of the false influences that are in your life. And so we're going to dive in today. But first, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are gathered here, Lord, in your name. And Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. And we want to dig in today. And Lord, I know there's a pretty hefty challenge in this portion of Scripture, Lord. I think the center theme of what Peter is trying to put out is in our reading today. And I pray, Lord, that we are ready for it. And Lord, as you challenge us in our lives, our hearts, Lord, our thinking, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we can grow today. I pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, that we've taken a step of growth, Lord, in you. So, Father, be with us this morning. Speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this morning's message is called False Freedom. Are you free? We live in America, home of the brave, land of the free, right? We are free. Are you really free? One of the freedoms I like in America is the freedom to buy property, right? To buy land. I can purchase and I can have a piece of paper here that has my name on it that says, this is mine. I'm free to purchase property. It's awesome. I like it. And then at the end of the year, I get this bill. It's called a tax bill. Apparently, I have to pay for this free thing that I have. It's mine, but I owe someone else something for this. You know, and then it's like, okay, am I really free? And then I find out there's like a village ordinance, you know, that grass can only be so long. You know, if it gets too long, I'm going to get it cited. And I've got to take care of that grass. I've got to care for the property according to someone else's ideas. And then, you know, I can't leave like trash all over my yard. I can't have unregistered vehicles. My wife and I went to a graduation party at the Mum Barn. And as we were walking up to the barn, in the middle of this nicely cut grass was like this 50s Chevy pickup truck, you know, old rusted out, just sitting there. And it was like the centerpiece of the front yard. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. And I turned to my wife and said, you know, my truck's roughly getting there. Could I take the wheels off and just put it in the front yard? I mean, it's a classic, you know. She didn't like that idea. But I can't have an unregistered vehicle. If I want to do something to my property, it's mine. I've got my name on it. If I want to put a new roof on, if I want to change the deck, if I want new windows, if I want to change a room, I have to get permission in order to work on my home. Am I really free? Now, I know in our midst here, we do have a village councilman with us. I'm not knocking all these things, okay? I'm not. But it paints the picture of, are you really free? There are things that we think we are free of, and yet there's some restrictions. There's some tentacles still attached to us. The Bible says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to be indeed free. That seems a little bit better than free. I want to be free indeed. So what's the difference? What are these things that in our mind we think, no, I'm good. I've got freedom. And yet, if we look around, we're going to find that there's actually something controlling us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is what are the things that control us when we think we have a freedom, but it's a false freedom. So 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll read 17 and 18 to begin here. These people are useless as dried up springs or a mist blown away by the wind. Are you getting the picture about Peter and what he thinks of false teachers? I mean, now he's getting poetical. You know, he's just sitting, is that a word? Poetical? Poetic? Poetic. The act of, never mind. He's getting really elaborate in his description of these guys. He doesn't like them. And he goes on, he says, they are doomed to the blackest darkness. So there, for these guys, there is a special place in that place for these people. He really is gunning for them. He can't stand these false teachers. Verse 18. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to the twisted sexual desires. If you've been through this whole series, that subject, twisted sexual desires, he's brought it up about three or four times to describe false teachers. Are you listening? The world, false teachers, false teachings, want to twist that subject or promote that subject. If that's what they're talking about, run away. Run away. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. Are you barely a Christian? You barely got here? You barely said, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. And then you take that step and they're sitting there saying, come on back. That's what they do. They draw you back. So I'm hoping we understand by now that false teachers are bad. They're worthless. And Peter doesn't like them. And we also need to understand they're coming for us. They are targeting you and I with their teachings, their thoughts, their ideas. And it's our job to spot them, which he's given us description after description of how to spot a false teacher. And we can be okay if we can spot them, but that's a big if, to be able to see who the false teachers are. And so what do? These false teachers who give us a false freedom. What do they do? What do they show us? Verse 19. If you have your Bibles, you got a pen. I think this is the center scripture of 2 Peter. There is so much within this this verse that we can dig in. And even this week, if you have the opportunity, open up your Bibles, read it a couple times this week, and just meditate on it. Read it over and over and go, God, explain this to me. God, reveal me in this scripture. 2 Peter 2:19, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. They're enslaved by sin, and yet they're telling you, you can be free from sin. How can I offer you a freedom that I don't have? How can I give you something that I don't have? And that's what false teachers do. They are giving you a false freedom. But here it is. This is the part of the scripture that, man, I could just read over and over and over again. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. You are a slave to whatever controls you. Kids that are doing the coloring and have the question mark, here's your answer. You are a slave to whatever controls you. 3 weeks ago, we were talking about the lures, the little things that are out there. They're not necessarily sins, but they're things that draw your attention and you look at it. And now we're talking about walking down that path. And what's the thing that grabs you, that ensnares you, that controls you? What controls you? If my wife was here, she could attest to the fact that I'm a pretty good sleeper, right? And you guys out there like me, the light turns off, you put your head on the pillow, and you can, between 2 and 10 minutes, right? Close your eyes, and you're out. Don't do it right now. I'm just, you know. I'm a pretty good sleeper, right? Because the body is telling me, you're tired. It's been a long day. You've worked hard. You've done different things. And you're fatigued. You're exhausted. You need rest, right? And for me, it's between 9:30 and 10:30. It's like, okay, I'm done. I need to go to bed in the evening. Maybe there's a nap in the morning. I don't know. I'm not quite there yet. But I go to bed, and I give control to my body, which says, go to sleep. But every once in a while, you close the eyes, you start to drift, and hello? Hello, Jason, can we talk? And it's your mind. Have you ever had your mind wake you up in the middle of the night? You ever had conversations with your brain? Your brain says, hey, we have things we have to take care of right now. I mean, have you seen gas prices? I mean, boy, that's terrible. How are we going to pay for that? Your bank account is going down to nothing. And gas costs, so let's talk about that. Have you seen the end of the world is coming? Oh, my word. We got to prepare for this, Jason. Wake up, Jason. There are issues. Am I the only one that has those conversations with your brain in the middle of the night? So tell me, who has control? The body or the mind? And what is the mind using to control you? Fear, doubt, worry, concerns, right? What's in control? Now, there's many reasons we have a hard time falling asleep. But many times, the brain is in control. What controls you? I enjoy to drive. I like to drive. There's one thing I don't like about driving, though, and that's other drivers. If my kids were here, they would attest to this, okay? There are many things that lure me down the road of frustration, right? With my kids, it's lights and doors. They never turn off. They never close. I don't know why. It just... Anyways. But driving, I like to drive. But there are things that frustrate me, okay? I feel like I need a confession booth here. I could sit down and share with you. I don't know why people don't realize there's this brilliant invention with vehicles called a blinker, right? And it's really easy to use. It's right there, you know? And what's really cool, if you're like, oh, this is so much effort, I don't want to turn it back off. You don't have to. The car does it for you. It's incredible. People don't use their blinkers. And if they do, it's as they're turning in. Oh, I'll turn it on. That doesn't count. I think it's like 800 feet or 8 seconds. You're supposed to have your blinker on. Come on, use your blinker. There is a stretch of road in Cumberland. It's right around Louise Market on the north side of town. That is, it's the worst stretch of road for me. A number of years ago, we were driving into Cumberland from the north side. And you know how the highway divides before you come into Cumberland? It was snowy. I was going like 40, and this car came behind me. It was at night, and they decided to pass me, even though you couldn't see any lanes in the road. There might have been four, but they passed so far, they went on the other side of the median, and a car was coming at them, and we were all like, no, because we were worried we were going to see something terrible. I mentioned last year, I was driving north on 63. No, I was driving into Cumberland from 63, and a truck went into my lane, and he didn't stop, so I had to go to the shoulder, and he continued to go. He went down in the ditch, came out of the ditch, smoked a boat that was, yes, there was a boat in the road, hit this boat, and then he plowed into a building. I mean, he nearly took me out. He was okay. I was okay, too. I know you were concerned. But, you know, right in that same stretch, we were just driving about a month ago. And again, I'm driving north on that. And these two kids are biking their little bikes. They're pedaling their little bikes in the other lane. And there's cars in front of them and behind them. They're pretending they're cars. And the kid had something really cool to say because he turned to talk to his buddy. And of course, he drifted into my lane and I jam on the brakes. And he just goes, oh, doesn't even wave or anything. Like, dude. And just about a week or two ago, driving north again, I'm on the road. You have these red things called stop signs. That means stop. But the guy was impatient. I won't tell you what color plate the vehicle may have had. I know we're mixed company here sometimes, but you know, anyways. And so he pulls out in front of me and I have to jam on the brakes. Anybody with me? Are there things that frustrate you? Are there things that lure you away? Or tempt you to do things. Now, I have never rolled down my window and communicated certain things. I have never swerved my vehicle yet. I may have used that other thing on your steering wheel, that horn, but I typically reserve that for the roundabouts around here. And I have never waved a singular digit at people, okay? I haven't I haven't gone down there, but I know it. That frustration begins to take over, and I want to act upon it. I want to do something about it. What controls you? What are the things that set you off? What gets you angry? Because usually it's a simple thing or a repeated thing. It's really not a big deal, and it starts with a frustration or an annoyance, and then it grows. And depending upon what controls you, you act upon it. This next week, there's one thing that happens at Bible camp, which is awesome. My wife and I have been directing the camp for 7 or 8 years, and I think it was the previous director that instituted this. Yeah, but they, as soon as the kids show up at camp, they take these and they put it in a box. And for the next 4.5 days, 5 days, they don't get their phones. Why? Because it controls. And not just kids. Can you go 4 days without your phone? Well, I need it for, yeah, whatever. How many people actually, do you know these things can make phone calls? Where you talk to people? Yeah, they actually can do that. Oh, I need it for work. What controls you? What are the things that take your time, that take your thoughts, that lure you? And sometimes we go down and we find ourselves being sinful with these things that control us. But we're in church. We're reading the Bible. We should be asking the question, what should control you? Peter is one of the writers of the New Testament. Another one who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament was Paul. I consider Peter and Paul as frenemies. There are times that they were on the same page, and there are some stories where these guys are going at it with each other. But on this subject of what controls you, these two agree very clearly. And so we're going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And this is Paul's perspective of controlling. So verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. What do you think about? Are your thoughts on sinful things? Do you have angry thoughts? Do you have depressed thoughts? Do you have lustful thoughts? You have those thoughts. What are you controlled by? God or your sinful nature? But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Holy Spirit. Are your thoughts on pleasing things? Oh, look, they're not using their blinker. God bless you. Do you think about pleasing things? Godly things, good things, love, kindness. Is that the first thought in your mind when things happen? Or is it something else? Verse 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. It's a lure, it's control, it's death. It's pretty simple. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Ah, what do you have? What do you have? Do you have sinful thoughts? Or do you have life and peace? Which one do you want? I want life and peace. What controls your mind? 7. For the sinful nature is always, always hostile to God. It never obeys God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Church, this is a pretty important discussion. What controls you? If your sinful thoughts and your natures and desire is what controls your mind, you can never please God. That's pretty clear, right? What controls your mind? What controls you? So that was Paul's take on this controlling. And he wrapped it up with, you can never please God. That's pretty bold. That's pretty strict. What does Peter say about it? Peter, I think, takes it another step further. This is a portion of scripture. I've read this a bunch of times, and I had to read a bunch of commentaries because, wow, this is heavy. And I'm not sure I got this because I think I understand it, but I don't think I like it. You ever read something in the Bible that you're like, I don't know if I agree with this? So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yay! When people come to Jesus, all right, we're going to rejoice with that. That's awesome. And then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again. Wait, that never happens. I come to Jesus and then I get tempted by sin. That never happens, right? Well, if it does, they are worse off than before. To know Jesus and to go back into sin, you are worse off than you were before. Okay, Peter, try to explain this. What are you saying? Verse 21. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. Am I the only one that goes, whoa? So Peter's saying, it is better to not know Jesus than to know Jesus and to turn away from Jesus. It is better to not know Jesus than to know Jesus and to fall into sin again. That's pretty heavy. And then Peter does what he always does, is to take his point. He takes Old Testament scriptures to prove it. Verse 22. They prove the truth of this proverb. The dog returns to its vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. Pastor Jason, this scripture is concerning me. Yes, me too. Because this is pretty heavy. This, depending upon where you're at, you're trying to apply the scripture to yourself. Wait a second, Pastor. I'm here. I love Jesus. I do. But I struggle with an addiction. That's really hard to get out of. I struggle with these words I say to people that cuts them down. I've got a bad mouth. I struggle with anger. I struggle with treating my children and my wife the way God wants me to. I struggle with lustful thoughts, pornography. I struggle with alcohol, tobacco, addictions. What are you telling me, Pastor? I've come to know Jesus, and yet I'm stuck in this revolving door of sin. Are you telling me? What are you telling me? I think there's three different people in here considering this subject. The first group of people are going, no big deal. I love Jesus. I've given my entire life. I have served him faithfully. I've had moments where I've had to take captive the thoughts I've had, but I return or repent and I return back to Jesus. Yeah, I understand this, and that's why I've fully given my life to Jesus. There's others in here who are just daydreaming, wondering, is it really Sunday? How do we know it's Sunday? Who's been keeping track? Is it actually Monday and I'm late for work? Some of us here, our minds, it's no big deal. We don't really care to dig into it, but there are someone here this morning that this concerns you. That you go, wait a second. Am I in a no hope category? You're thinking about the things you have done, the things that you are doing. Even this morning, you've probably had wrong thoughts. And you're wondering, am I worse off? Am I going to the deepest, darkest place? Pastor, this concerns me, as it should. Pastor, What do I do? Well, the answer's actually pretty simple. Give control to God. Give control to God. It's that easy. And you might think it's hard, but it's not. You have to slow down. Literally, as you're driving, you have to slow down for those people that are tempting you to do things you shouldn't do. Slow down and bless them. You have to slow down because your body is reacting, your mind is reacting, your experiences are talking first. You have to slow down and you have to listen. God, what do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? You have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's how this works. And it's being intentional every moment. How do you get out of this revolving door of sin and control? Right now, 11:28 on Sunday, Sunday, I believe, you make the commitment. I'm going to give God control. I'm going to let God choose for me. Jesus, take the wheel. You have to be intentional about it. And in another 2 or 3 minutes, you have to be intentional about it again. You have to commit your life to Jesus. God, take control. You get in the vehicle, God, take control. You get home for lunch, God, take control. God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? He will lead you every step of the way. It's as if you feel you're in this vast desert. There is no hope. The sun is burning you, you're parched, there's nothing to do. And yet, if you would just turn your head a little bit, you realize the springs of living water, the river of God is right there. And all you have to do is step into it. It's right there. But we look at that and go, yeah, but that means God's in control. And I'm not free. The freedom you have is false. It leads to death. I want the freedom I have in God. And yes, that means I give him control. That I am a slave to God. But if I have a choice between a slave to sin and a slave to God, I'm choosing God 11 out of 10 times. I'm good at math. What controls you? Is it life or is it death? And you have to reflect upon this. You have to take the time to consider this. This is not the time to daydream, to think about random silly things, which I never do. This is the time to make a choice that my old life is gone and I choose God. I choose him alone. So Peter is telling us, be alert. False teachers and false teachings are everywhere. And you are a slave to what controls you. And the only answer to it is to be sold out to God. There is no, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve myself. Or I'm somewhere in between. There is no in between. It's either serve God or death. I'm going to serve God. I may not be perfect. I may not do it right every time. It's quiet for a second. But I'm going to serve God. And he's gracious and loving as I follow him and give him control. But he is just if I reject him. He is righteous if I have none within me. God is pretty black and white, but he loves you. And he's right there. And he's giving you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct every step of your life if you simply say, I yield. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that Peter is not pulling his punches. And Lord, he has targeted the enemy of the time, which back then was false teachers, and Lord, I believe it's still today. Lord, there are thoughts and ideas and concepts and teachings, Lord, that are so far away from you. And yet we grab them hook, line, and sinker. Lord, we've been lured, we've been baited, and Lord, we go so far away from you that we are under the control of sin. under the control of a false freedom, under the control of a worldly desire or nature. But Lord, this is the moment to say, I'm done with that. Lord, because I read this and I don't know. I don't think there's a gray area in heaven. They were close to the mark. Lord, even Jesus said to those that said, Lord, Lord, he said, get away from me. I never knew you. Lord, I want to know you, and I want to be known by you. So, Lord, there are some here this morning that need to recommit and make a stand today. They need to recommit their thoughts to you. Recommit their actions to you. Lord, there are some here that need to pursue life and peace, not death and destruction. Lord, we need to please you, our Father, and not please ourselves. And that requires us saying no to sin. No to evil thoughts. And yes to Jesus. So we turn our hearts to you today. We say, Lord, take control. Take control of my life. Tell me what to say, what to do, where to go. Lead me, guide me. Because I want to please you, my Heavenly Father. I want to dive into your river of life. Cover me from head to toe. Wash me clean. And let me never doubt again where I am with you. Because if any evil thought comes, it is gone. Because I turn to you. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for hearing our thoughts and our prayers this moment, this time. Thank you for being good to us and offering us life. We turn to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.